You are about to receive a word in season from Bishop Samuel Baidu. Bishop Samuel is the resident pastor of the Word of Life Cathedral, Takrady. Get ready for an impartation as the Word of God comes. Now, today's message.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of the inheritance for the saints. Help us, bless us. We pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us into your truth. We thank you. Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Please clap your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. Today is the third Sunday. Is it third Sunday in the year? Wow. Already. What a blessing. Amen. And as we all know, our theme for the year is seed, time, and harvest. Like three words: seed, time, harvest. Hallelujah. And we must always believe God that God gives us a word for every season. Hallelujah. So this is a word for us, for our life, for everything that you are going through. God has given you a word. And the word from our prophets is seed, time, and harvest. And I believe that we are beginning to understand this theme properly as we go on in listening to messages about seed and harvest. Many people want to harvest, but they don't understand the laws behind harvesting. The laws behind harvesting is the seed, the law of the seed. Hallelujah. Yes, planting the seed. So it's a great blessing. And today we're going to continue in that line, and I'm going to talk to you about, you know, one of the things that prophet shared with us on 31st night was the seed of money. How many of you remember that? Now, the seed of money is the fact that money is a seed. And then the second part is that he talked about, so that's the first part about money. And the second one was your tithe, the seed of your tithe. So I'm going to talk to you about tithing, okay? And I'm going to talk to you from a chapter that talks about sowing and reaping. All right? Are you happy about that? Okay. So, many people have a lot of, I think they are misconceptions about tithing, Christians, because unbelievers have sown evil seeds. It shouldn't have been difficult for us to believe in tithing, but because of evil seeds that have been planted, that were there before or have been planted newly in our minds, it's difficult for Christians to really believe in tithing. Hallelujah. And I want us to really open your hearts and mind to understand these laws of sowing and reaping, because there's always a time to sow and a time to reap. The chapter I'm going to preach from is chapter 15 of this book, and the chapter's title is How Tithes Activate the Laws of Sowing and Reaping. If you tithe, how do you activate such a law? Because there are laws. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. In Genesis 8:22, God puts a law in place. And the law is, as the earth remains, or as the earth remaineth, seed, time, and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night they shall not cease. And we all know that these seasons are in place. So if we have day and night, it is because the Lord put it in place as a law and as a principle. So they are like, principles are like working bases. How does the world work? How does it work? Seasons work. So he put seasons in place. This is how it works. There's going to be night, there's going to be day. There's going to be cold time. Look, it's hot now, eh? It's hot. It's hot. But very soon, it will be raining. It really rained last year. We had a lot of rains last year. And there are seasons. We have to just understand the seasons. I say that there are a lot of flooding that has taken place, that if we understood what the rains were meant for, I'm sure we could have channeled them better. But maybe we didn't understand what we could do with the rain. So there are seasons. So God says that seed time and harvest. And I'm sure that we have understood this. And anytime you plant, you're actually activating this law. Anytime you plant, how many of you have planted something before? Yeah, that was your seed, corn. Corn. I've made a corn farm before. By the time I was about harvesting, I tell you, when I arrived, somebody had come to harvest my corn. You will not believe it. That's a thief. That person is cursed, I'm telling you. I remember. So it's sad, but it was ready. And when I went to harvest, I mean, up to today, we have not caught the thief. We don't know who took my corn. No problem. In heaven, I'll get to know. And that's what the Bible says. Now, one of the seven seeds that the prophet shared with us, I told you, was money. Money is a seed. We talked about other seeds. By the way, those of you who are listening, maybe you are listening on radio, not here in the congregation. I'm sure that those of you here, you are not thinking like that. Say amen. What am I about to say? There are a lot of people who begin to have, like, your blood pressure rises when we are talking about money in church. Look, the best principles about money, how you can manage your life, it's in the Bible. They are all in the Bible. And so if we are sharing about money, how you can do well, and we are talking about, I'm talking about tithing, a spiritual thing like tithing, you shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be afraid about money. You shouldn't have a seizure. It's like you are epileptic when we start talking about money in church. So I'm talking this time about the seed of money. And the second part of the seed of money, which is the B, is the seed of your tithe. But mind you, those of you who don't know, there are six other seeds. Eh? We talked about six other seeds. A seed of righteousness and life and all the other seeds that we spoke about. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about seed, the seed of money, which is your tithe. Okay. So today I'm talking about the laws. There are actually 15 that I'm going to give you some today. 15 laws that govern sowing and reaping. All right. Do you have this book? Do you have this book? Try and get it. Okay. A lot about money. Everybody wants money. How many of you would like to have some extra money today? May the Lord bless you with money.
Amen.
I said, may the Lord bless you with money.
Amen.
Amen. So we go into the book. How tithers activate the laws of sowing and reaping. All right. Now, this law of sowing and reaping has been known by farmers for a long time. For a long time, farmers, every farmer, whether they have been to the University of Cape Coast to do BSc in agriculture, or the University of Ghana, or the University of Development Studies,
or the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, whether they have been there or not, they know this principle. Farmers who have not been to school, they know this principle. And that is what they do. The farmer in Bibieni planting cocoa understands this. They've not been to school, but they understand this principle. Now, we are teaching here this law and this principle, but the farmer knows this already. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing, oh. It's amazing. So I want us to rather be wiser. That's what the Bible says, that the children of this world, they are wiser than the children of the light. So we must be wiser, that if the children of this world, they understand certain things, but we ought to be wiser than them. Amen. So they understand this principle. They plant, they farm, and they plant. By the way, let's talk about animals. If you look at the lions we have today, they are not the original lions God made. Hello? If you look at the lion, if you see a lion on the wildlife channel, they are not the original species that the Lord made in the Garden of Eden. Then they must be very old lions. But why do we have these lions? Because on the average, it is believed that lions spend 8 years in the wild. So it means that from the time they are born, they spend 8 years and they die. If they are brought into the zoo, they tend to live for 20 years because they sleep a lot. That's it. Discovery. So they don't do much. They run around a lot looking for food, but in the zoo they sleep a lot and they are fed all the time. But it is not easy for them when they are in the wild looking for food. It's not easy for them. And if that is the case, if it is 8 years, then let's look at how can we have lions today? It is because of the principle of sowing and reaping. Yes. The seed. The seed is the reason why lions are able to procreate. So that means that if you don't have a seed, you don't have a future. Hello? You don't have a future. So the seed, the lack of that seed, is going to be the lack of your future. You are not putting in place a future. And therefore, we have lions that have existed till today. And other animals that have existed. And we see them around. We are happy about them. This is the principle that is in place. That's the principle. Now, this is the same with money. An inanimate object like money. Money is not... If you see money like 10 Ghana Cedi notes or 100 Ghana Cedi notes, it is not something that lives. It's not a living thing. The note is not a living thing. But money is a seed. Hallelujah. Let you know, money is a type of seed for you. Just like the living thing. You know, that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, that, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, if you sow sparingly, he shall reap also sparingly. So now Paul is telling us about money, sowing seeds, and then you're reaping. No, I've spoken to you about animals, the principle that has helped farmers and agriculture, farming, planting seeds, rearing animals. This is the principle. But Paul now teaches us that it is a spiritual thing to plant money. He says this, I'm saying this to you, it's like an emphatic statement. Clearly understand this thing about money. There's nothing to speculate here when it comes to money. The Bible does not leave us to speculations. When it comes to money, it's not magical. Many people are expecting magic when it comes to money. You wake up and there's $1 million in your room. Listen to it. There are principles governing it. There are laws governing money. But the Bible teaches us, even the world has laws governing money. They have books. They've written a lot of books about money. Money, all these Warren Buffett's, whatever, investment, they've written, you see them, I've not read any of them, but they've written a lot of books on money. I want you to know that the Bible has laws governing money. And your inability to appropriate these laws will mean that you will not receive of the reward thereof. Simple. You know. I think I've heard Bishop Oedipo say that. God says that prosperity, God has no, something about prosperity. He says that it's nothing to do with prayer. That's what he says though. He says that as long as you fulfill your part, I will fulfill it. If you understand money, he says that, God said that, don't pray, even don't pray about it. He says that as long as you understand and you apply, you will receive. But don't pray about it. That's what he says. Yes. They are building a church. They have a church that is a 50,000 seater church, about 52,000 seater church, and they want to build a new church. But 100, prophet spoke about him on the 31st night, 100,000 seater church. 100,000 seater church. And he says, oh, the money is ready. It's not like they are now going to raise funds. It's ready, crowd. Hey, do you understand what I'm saying? He says that, look, there is nothing mysterious about money. Tell somebody there's nothing mysterious about money. And everybody here must understand. So that's why I'm teaching you about the laws of sowing and reaping. That how tithes, those who tithe, those who pay tithes, how do they activate the laws, that law, that covenant? It's a covenant. Covenant. Yes, it's a covenant. That's a law. My covenant will I not break. Psalm 89. Neither will I alter the things that have gone out of my lips. And he says that seed, time, and harvest. They say that they will not cease. Yeah. They will not cease. So, you see, it has a lot to do with how you appropriate the principles that God has put in place already. All that you need to know is that money has its own laws. Amen. Are you listening to me? Are you understanding the laws of money? That is why the Bible says that he which soweth. So if you sow little, then he's talking to us about money. You will reap little. If you put in much, you will reap much. Sparingly means little, small, tiny. You don't give. And then he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Hallelujah. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart. So let him give. God wants you to give from your heart. Yes. For God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't like grudges. He says that let him give, not of necessity. You don't give out of, oh, you think that somebody needs your money or whatever. Not out of grudge, not out of necessity. But God wants you to give from your heart. And then he says that the one that gives seeds to the sower is also able, both ministers, he that ministers seed to the sower, the one that ministers or gives the seed to the sower, in the verse 10, is the same person, he says, both ministers bread for your food. He is the one. You see, so if he doesn't give you, if there's no seed to sow, then there's no bread for food. He that ministereth seed to the sower, ministereth both bread for your food, increase the seeds that you have sown. So how many of you want increase? The increase is going to come from the seeds you have sown. So if you sow a lot, they will increase, the ones that you have sown will be multiplied. You multiply, if you multiply 5 times 2, you'll get 10. Okay, so if the factor is 2, and you have put in 10, 10 times 2 is 20. So we are not expecting to receive the same. That is the reason for the differences in life. This is the simple explanation. A lot of the explanations that we have for the inequalities in our economics, or our, let me use the word, financial status, is from here. The one that has sown. He that ministered seed. He's the one who gave you the seed. He ministered both. Bread for your food. He will multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Hallelujah. So God now teaches us that money, which is an inanimate object, not like the goats you have in the house, not like the chickens and the dogs, but money is a seed. Hallelujah. Now, if you are a tither, if you pay tithes, your tithe is not a waste of your money. As people have made you believe. Many people have made us believe so. Huh? Look, everything is a seed. I wish I could just talk about seeds. Your time. Your time is a seed you have. Everybody here has 24 hours. Look, if you don't study, just listen. All right. Everybody, the whole world, everybody has 24 hours. There are those that squander time, just like they squander money. They squander time. And then there are others that invest time. And those that invest time properly, they reap. And those that squander time, they will, in the day of harvest, they will have nothing. And that's why they will be moving around, groping, asking for Pringles. Coins. No, but it's a seed. Everything is a seed. So, don't let somebody deceive you that you are actually wasting your seed when you are tithing. Now, even good Christians, people who seem to be good Christians, in quotes, are propagating this gospel. Thereby, they are robbing you of your seed. Huh? And the harvest that is supposed to come out of your seed. Yeah. There's nothing is a waste. Your life is a seed. Your time is a seed. Your money is a seed. Your words are seeds. A sower went out to sow. You see the song that you sang? A sower went out to sow. The seed is the word. As I'm preaching, I'm sowing seeds. I'm sowing good seeds. That's why you should watch out for what you hear. Because what you hear can be bad seeds. You should watch out. Seeds. Anyway, let's go on. I have a lot to say about this, but I have to be conscious of time. How many people are enjoying it? I'm talking about your life. Many people have a wishful thinking pattern and a wishful thinking approach to life. You are just wishing for things. And you are going to end up a frustrated man or a frustrated woman. Yes. Frustration is because of your wishful thinking. If, like Ghana Black Stars, if they put, if we have lost, so if we draw the knife and then they draw, it's a wishful way of thinking. You are wishing. You are wishing. You are entering into a wrestling match hoping that your opponents will be sick. Hey! And if he is not sick, what will happen to you? You are wishing that your opponent will be sick on the day of, that's your prayer. Huh. He will be sick one day, but not on the day of the wrestling match. Woe to you if you are in the ring with him. Amen. You are wishing that your opponent will be sick. You are praying that he will not be there. Nah, that's a wishful way of thinking. So my prayer for you today is that you understand how a person who pays tithe, how the person who puts money in an envelope. You know, I remember That's how far back I can remember the first time I paid tithe in this building. I was in the secondary school. I remember. Because I remember my auntie came, because she was working in the bank, Standard Chartered Bank, and she gave us some fresh notes. You know, when you're have you received fresh notes before? When you were young, they were dashing you money. So the fresh notes, you see, when it is fresh, it's almost like you feel that the value has increased. It's the same value. So when people want to sometimes bless somebody with money, they go to the bank for fresh notes. But Charlie, the value is the same. Fresh notes or old notes, the value is the same. Hallelujah. And I remember that was, you see what you have? It was 5,000. And it was a 5. You know, we used to have 5,000, right? So I remember one of those, and I remember putting it in an envelope. I remember, long ago. I just remember that is when I first paid tithe. Way back. You must believe it. It hasn't taken away from my life. Yes. So it rather adds to your life. It rather increases and augments your life. Hallelujah. Let's go into the law. Are you ready for the law? Okay, the first law. You must, the first law, so there are 15 of them. If you come today, next weekend, maybe the next 3 weeks, we'll be able to cover the 15 laws. Alright, we'll try. You must plant something. Alright? That's the first one. The first law is that you must plant something. You must do what? Plant something. If you are a spiritual person, you will always be mindful of harvest. I want to say this again. You will be mindful of the harvest of even the things you do in secret. Huh? Yeah. If you are a spiritual person, what nobody has seen, you will be mindful of what kind of harvest you are about to yield from what you have planted in secret, what you have done in secret, and what you are doing in secret. I keep saying it in your thoughts. Hey. I like the mind. I try because the mind there, a lot of things are happening in there. That is the place. So the seeds, even the seeds you are planting in your mind, the kind of thoughts you are engaging yourself in, you should be afraid of the kind of harvest that will come to you. And that is why you should always remember the harvest. Then you will have a respect for seed. Then you will understand that you must sow something if you want a financial harvest or if you want a harvest from God. Because there are laws that God has put in place. You know, when the Israelites, they came out of Egypt, the first place they got to was Gilgal. That is the place that when they got to the Gilgal, the Lord told them that they should sow, because then they had been eating manna for 40 years. So those who are born, they grew up 40 years. They don't know about seed. They just, manna comes and they eat. 40 years. Just imagine from the journey, somebody was pregnant when they were leaving. As they entered and they started, not then, then she gave birth. And they journeyed for 40 years until they entered the promised land. The Lord, that's when the Lord told them that's when the manna ceased, when they came out, Gilgal. You see, and the Lord told them that now you are going to sow. Of course, it used to exist, but then because they were going to go through this wilderness, God blessed them with manna. Manna, things falling from heaven. You wake up in the morning, it is there. It's ended. When they entered Gilgal, bam! Yes. You have to understand. That's when he told them, you must now sow. Have faith in your seed. Because right there, you must have faith. And then when you plant it, you reap it. Amen? So, John chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you. Say, verily, verily. When you hear verily, verily, it's not in the Old Testament. When you say verily, verily, it's not in the Old Testament. Alright? So if you are asked to quote, and somebody quotes verily, verily, it's likely to be in the New Testament. Okay? Except a corn of wheat, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and dies. It abideth alone. But the Bible says that, but if it die, if the seed should die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Your fruit is going to come unless a corn of wheat, a seed. Yes. Unless there is something planted, don't expect a harvest. I say that if you don't plant, don't accept a harvest. That is why people who don't tithe, they have done nothing to expect a harvest. I want to say it again. They have done nothing to inherit God's promises. God's promises has conditions. There must be something planted. Listen, nobody, your money cannot increase the value of God and make that will not make God more godder than he is. No, I should put it that way. It's the truth. Your money will not make God greater than he is. God puts in place principles and laws. And those that sit in the congregation and don't understand, that's how they are frustrated in this life. Now, I'm talking a lot more about your life here on earth. Because you have exempted yourself from such a law which is in place, sowing and reaping. And you have sowed nothing. And the Bible says, he said that, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground, except it falls to the ground and die, it will abide alone. May you not be a loner in the name of Jesus. Yes. Listen to me. There are a lot of reasons for people being alone, for not having certain things. I've come to realize it. You don't give yourself to sowing seeds. You don't tithe. You sit in church and you don't tithe. You sit in church and you don't give your tithe. You get money. By all means, you've gotten something. No problem. You eat all your seeds. And when the day of harvesting comes, you want to harvest from where? Whose harvest are you going to pluck? Are you a thief? Are you a thief? It's a question. That's why he said, accept. Everybody say, accept. Accept your corn. The corn of your harvest falls into the ground. Except your corn of the harvest drops into the offering bag for God. Expect that your money is your money. When it is finished, nothing is coming back. That's what it is. That is what it is. I want you to really understand. Except the corn of wheat falls to the ground, it abides alone. So you must always plant something. Don't say, I have nothing. God will give you something. There is something God will always give you. There's something you have. Look around you. Just look around you. There's something you have. There's something you have. There's always something you have. There's always something you have. You can't say you have nothing. And Hosea chapter 8 verse 7 says that, for he had sown the wind, and he shall reap the whirlwind. Hey! So what did you sow? Wind. Hey. Wind is in Frama. You sowed the wind. You shall reap the whirlwind. In fact, what are you going to do? Even the wind is a seed. It's wild though. Hey. No. Let's stay here a bit. For he has sown the wind. It means the wind is a type of seed. It's an evil seed though. Because if the harvest comes, you won't like it. It's coming to destroy your house. It will remove your roof. It will blow you away. It will lift you up and bring you down. Your spinal cord will break. You can't walk again. Yeah. For he has sown the wind, and he shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stock. The bar shall yield no meal. And if so be it yields, it says that the stranger shall swallow it up. Hey, you don't even understand these things. Charlie, tell somebody, it's not good for you. It's not good for you. Hey, it is not good for you. It's not good for you. At all. It's not good. Don't sow wind. Don't sow wind. There must be a good seed. Plant into time. Plant into your finances. There are different aspects of your life. Plant into different areas. Plant. I kept saying, it's like it's like a relationship. Even your relationship. So seed time habit. This is a powerful thing. My prayer is that you will apply these principles. Your life will change. There's no secret about even happiness. Even your happiness is as a result, your happiness or your very sad state, despondent state, it's as a result of certain seeds you have sown into your life. When you sow seeds, you are always sowing seeds of unhappiness into your mind, ungratefulness and all that. You are sowing it to yourself. You'll be unhappy. Many people are unhappy not because of your happiness. Usually is not based on the external stimuli around you. Is that a result? It's not because you didn't eat fried rice and chicken. No. But somebody has eaten garri and pepper, no fish, is so happy. And you are complaining about chicken. Please. Please. It's something you must understand. So you've got to plant something. Sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. I'll give you a typical example. Are you listening?
Yeah.
How many of you are enjoying the seed thing? Because it's important. How many of you want money? You see, your tithe is money to sow. Sow quality money. Sow. You must always plant money so that you will reap money. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. In Genesis chapter 26, we know of the story of Isaac. And the Bible says that, verse 1, the Bible says that, and there was famine in the land. There was lack. Famine is severe hunger. There is no food. What happened in Ghana when there was famine in Ghana? What happened? It wasn't easy. Reverend Eric, what happened? How were things like?
It was difficult to get food.
Difficult to get food. So how did people get food? That was famine, at least. So like, how are people, because
the farmers couldn't plant.
They couldn't plant. And therefore they couldn't harvest. You see, they couldn't plant, they couldn't harvest. And then I hear that people were queuing for like kenke that was not cooked. You have to queue for it. You have to buy it and cook for yourself. You see, this is like Kwekwe Anansi's story to a lot of people here. But some people really experienced it. I can you imagine queuing for today? Kwa, you don't like kenke. You don't like kenke. You like pizza. You want to eat pizza. Kenke is not even on the list of your top 15 food. Kenke is not part. Pizza. You want to eat pizza. Pepperoni. Hey. Now, there was famine in the land. Look at the principle. That's why I said you must sow something. There was famine in the land. And Isaac applied the principle. There was severe famine. Besides the famine that was in the day of Abraham, his father. And then he went to king of the Philistines, King Abimelech. And he went to him. But God said that he shouldn't go. God told him that he shouldn't go into Egypt. He wanted to go out of town. But you see, chapter 26, verse 12, the Bible says that, but Isaac sowed in that land. In that land, he sowed his seed. When people were chewing their seeds, Isaac sowed. So that the reason for his blessing is that, and Isaac sowed in that land. And in that same year, he reaped 100-fold. Look at the sequence. Look at the sequence. He sowed in that land, and in that same year, he reaped 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. So God is going to look at your harvest and bless you even. You have no harvest, it means you don't warrant a blessing. You don't understand the principle that brings a blessing. Hello? Hello? I pray that you're getting it. Is it good? Isaac sowed in that same land. When there was famine, And the Bible says that in that same year he reaped 100-fold. Is it the case that if others had also sold, they could have also reaped? Because you see, when you don't have money, immediately you tend to solve your problems first. You solve your problems. You want to pay the school fees, pay the rent and all that first. And you forget about the fact that he that ministereth seed to the sower, ministereth both food. He also ministered food for you. Yes. He's the same person who will be the one to minister bread, food for you. He gave you a seed. Let's learn from Isaac. He understood life. May you understand life from today. How many people are going to understand life from today? Be spiritual. Always remember the harvest. A spiritual person is always remembering the harvest. Remember the harvest. Remember the harvest. Remember the harvest. Always link things to the harvest. So that when you are taking a wrong step, that's how you will understand the seed of unrighteousness, the seed of life. You will, if you remember harvest, then you wouldn't lie. If you remember the harvest, you know what to do with money. You wouldn't give money to the wrong things. You wouldn't use your money to buy things that will destroy you. You wouldn't put money in the wrong place. If you understand harvest, you put money in the right place. If you put your money in the bank, and they tell you 12% interest, you will get it. If you go and buy alcohol and drink your alcohol, there's no 12% increase. It's gone. And you are likely, if you keep on drinking, to have problems. Amen? Principles. See, principles. We have principles and laws. Amen. How many of you want God to bless you? Everybody, I mean, I don't know who doesn't want money here. Everybody wants money. Everybody wants returns. I mean, you could do with another. And if you have a car, it's like if you get another car you like. How many of you would like another car? I mean, it's not like you do another. It's not but you have a car, but it's like an extra car that's packed. Because sometimes this car can break down. So it's like just in case it breaks down, no, then you have a spare car. It's not like you need it. How many of you would want something like that? Everybody wants it. Extra. Frustration-free life. Receive a frustration-free life. Let's sow seeds. You must plant something. You must plant something. Always be cognizant of that fact. The harvest. The harvest. The harvest. You're going to reap the harvest. I can stay here for a long time, For a long time. Talk about so many things that you must plant. Do not sow winds. Because what you are going to reap is a whirlwind. Yeah. You're going to reap a whirlwind. You see, from here, from this scripture in Genesis 26, go back to 26, Genesis 26, verse 12. You realize that. So that is where he sowed the seed. He reaped. But God blessed him. So your maybe your salary may not necessarily be that which will be the real blessing. But when you sow and God gives you the returns, then a certain blessing also comes upon it. And then you are blessed. And you are happy. Amen. Number two. Number two. You must plant in good ground. Alright? You must plant in good ground. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 4, 5, the Bible says that a sower, he speak many parables to them, saying, he speak a lot of parables to them, and that's what he said, that a sower went out to sow. But in the verse 8 of that scripture, the Bible says that, but others fell on good ground. You must plant on good ground. Others fell. Go to verse 8. Others fell in the good ground. Say good ground. Write it all. Good ground. Good ground. You can write good ground. It should be in your mind. Others fell in the good ground and brought forth. Look at it. It is, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. But listen, in this parable, the place where we see brought forth fruit is the good ground. Hallelujah. It is important that you understand this seed that you must plant in a right place. Many people plant. Let me tell you something about even gambling and all these things. I want to say to you that God promises returns in the church. Don't gamble with your money. Anything that you are not, it's like you are entering, is like maybe. It's a matter of probabilities. And it's not even probabilities. It can be zero. So it can more of probabilities and more of a lack based on lack. I want to say this, based on lack. It's not worth it. Like if you are going to marry, so we are trying it. Don't marry. Don't ever marry anybody that we are trying. Don't, because very soon you will tell us that we tried it, it didn't work. When the frustration comes small, no, the next thing you say is that we say we are trying. We don't enter to try. We enter to say we are in for life. Tell somebody we are in for life. Yeah. Listen to me. These are real principles about your life. Many people play with it. Real principles. You are here, you say that we preach about salvation. We preach about so many spiritual things. This is a spiritual law that will affect your life here on earth. Hallelujah. Yeah, to affect your life here on earth. Plant in a good ground. Look, apples don't grow in Ghana. We all know. Apples don't grow in Ghana. I mean, there are a lot of things that don't grow here. But I want to say that the church is a good ground. It's a good ground. The Lord always gives you a good ground where you can sow your seed. And the church is a good ground. The church of God. You see, God said that I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. In Matthew chapter 16. Say that, and I'll build my church. God is building his church. So if you sow your seeds in the church, the place God is building not the political party. No. Even the politicians, they don't believe in the politics that they are doing. Is it not true? They are in it, but they don't believe in it. They don't really believe in the politics. I mean, parliamentarians are fighting and all that. Hey, it's not a simple thing, So, I want to tell you that the church is a good ground. I said the church is a good ground. It's a place where you can deposit your money. You can put your money in a good church, like this church. And be safe and know that your church is being, your money is being used well. Planting of churches. If your offering is used to build another church, and some people are worshipping in a church that your offering was used to build, don't you think God will bless you? Prayers are going up every day. Hey God, we thank you for this church. We thank you, oh God, they are praying. Don't you think that some rewards are coming to you? Receive your reward in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it, dear. Hallelujah. Yes. The rewards, some of the rewards, you can't use them. So your children, your children's children, and your children's children's children are the ones who are going to benefit. Say a proper amen. Any good thing you hear in church, you must give your loudest amen. Yes. You hear it, it is for you. I'm talking about your children's children's children. That your offsprings, your posterity, they will not suffer because there was a blessing that is accrued to you. And you couldn't use it. So God has now stored it up for them. Hallelujah. Yes. Good ground. The church is a good ground. I don't think that I have, and then, if you look at the three seeds, it's a seed of money, the seed of faith, and the seed of appreciation. Yeah. The church, let me talk to you a bit about the church. The seed of appreciation has to do with the servants of God. Okay? These are good ground. I'll tell you why. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says it. It's clear. Alright? Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him, that teacher, in all good things. That's simple. It's as simple as that. If you are taught, you must communicate. You must sow to the one that teaches. That's what the Bible says. It's a good place to sow. The church and the servants of God. I'll tell you. From the Old Testament, God wanted a place where he could dwell. So in Exodus 25, he says that they should take an offering in the verse 1. He says, let them, he says that, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Everyone that bringeth it from his heart, you should take that offering. Then he says that, in the verse 8, he says that, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Do you understand? So God wanted a place to dwell. And the place to dwell is, make me a sanctuary. He said, I will come. So the church is representing God here on earth. Hello? Hello, hello, hello. I want to just get you to understand this. The church is the building that is representing God here on earth. That's why we build the church. You see, but now we say, oh, God does not dwell in tabernacles made with hands, that God dwells in you. Yes, but God in the Old Testament said this. It doesn't mean that he does not dwell here. That's why we dedicate a church. Because when Solomon built the church, the temple was dedicated. Now, then comes the priest who performs the ordinances in the church. Now, because he is now going to dwell in the church and perform the ordinances and teach the word of God and do all the things that must be done, he too must be consecrated and must be set aside. And so God says that, so the priest is representing the church. So when I appear at the place, I represent the church. I'm not a banker, I'm not whatever. I represent God. Do you understand it? So the church and the priest are like, they have merged in a way. So that I'm here to perform the ordinances that must be performed here. And to speak and to teach and to exhort and to minister. That is it. So that is why it is a good ground. Do you now understand it? That's the basic thing. Because there's no reason for you to sow in the man of God's life. If he's not a, it's like, just like, you say, why don't you give it to your friend? No, this is, your friend is different from the man of God. Because he has been set aside to do the ordinances of God in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. So you must plant in a good ground. So planting your tithe in the church is a good place. A place that is dedicated to God. And you plant your seed, your tithe, every month, 10% of whatever God gives you, you give it to the Lord. God will bless you. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. And I'll give you the last one, because I wanted to give you 5. You must plant in large amounts. You must plant large amounts of seed. Okay, that's the third one. You must plant large amounts of seed. Plant large amounts of seed. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because a lot of seeds, they get lost in the process of being planted. They get lost. So that's why it is important that you plant large amounts of seed. Because if you plant one and then in the process that one got lost, it means you have no seed. So try and plant a lot. You'll be surprised. You know, there's some of these famous singers and all that. You'll be surprised to know the number of songs they have written and sang. But you know just about 2 of their popular songs. Yeah. I checked. Andre Crouch. Hey! The songs. You can't believe it. He's written a lot of songs and sang a lot of songs. I downloaded a lot of his songs. Hey! Plenty! Because some of them did not manifest and become popular. So in the process, some are lost. Some end up in the wrong place. So that is why the Bible says that, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap that amount. If you sow a lot, you will reap a lot. May you reap a lot. Yes. He who sows little shall reap little. Tell somebody, he who sows little shall reap little. You know, this thing, it's like even academics. Most intelligent people, they study. They don't just sleep. They study. They study. They will lie to you that they are sleeping. They don't sleep. They know when they sleep. They know when they are studying. I have my friend, huh? Very good student. I talked to you about him a lot of times. My friend that has done a lot of, he's now a doctor. We study that, Isaac. Now, when we were in the university, and I was in the same room with him, I mean, at a point, first year, second year, basically we were in the same room. We didn't have rooms, but we managed to be together. He was in the school of admin. My friend, he was the first friend I made when I went to secondary school. Day one, he was sitting by me, that we became friends. When he's going for lectures, he buys exercise books, and he will remove the sheet from the middle. And when he's going for a lecture, he will take one. Then he will fold it into four, and he puts it in his pocket with a pen. So as you see him go, there's no book with him. You won't believe it for me, I saw it. I'm telling you what I saw with my eyes. I didn't understand what he's doing. Buys some exercise books and takes all the leaves out. Then when he's going for a lecture, every day he'll pick one. Fold it into four. No, two. One, two this way, and then fold it the other way and put the paper in the pocket with a pen. And he makes notes. So when he's walking, you wouldn't think that he has gone for any lecture and all that. And he's sitting down. He writes very little. Then when he comes back in the room, I'm there. He has a file, then he'll take it and put it inside. Then in the night, he doesn't also study usually in the day, in the night. We used to study a lot in the night. So about 12, midnight, 11, 12. He picks one. He puts it in his pocket, then he are going. I remember we used to go to, if you know the University of Ghana, we used to go to, I think BAM Library and next or somewhere behind, almost close to the School of Admin. I remember first year, that's where we used to study. Hey! And he picks one. Then he'll be going. You see, when you see such a person, you think that he has done nothing. He studies a lot. Look, that my friend, he's not a pastor. If he meets a lot of pastors, if you meet him, he can easily disgrace you. Hey, he studies the books, the scriptures. He studies the Bible and he'll be chatting with me and then I will be going. I'm telling you, because I study, I know what I'm talking about. Because the things that he's able to ask and I'm able to dialogue with him, if you are not a pastor, you shouldn't be able to do those things. But he buys books. I've been to his study, where he's staying now, his study. He goes to bookshops, Christian bookshops, and buys theological books, thick like that, and he's studying. You'll be there. He's studying, he's talking to me about this law. Hey! I'm not joking. So when you see such people, you think that they've done nothing. You must plant a lot. You see somebody talking, you think that he slept. He has been planting a lot of seeds. Yes. Sparingly means sparingly. You won't have a lot to say because you didn't plant a lot. So I want you to understand this principle. Don't plant your tithe for 6 months and sleep. Be consistent. Plant your tithe. It's important. If you want to harvest. Charlie, we have been at it. I don't know anything that the Lord gives me. I don't know which of the tithe I paid that has yielded. But all I know is that I have to pay. Hey, you have to pay. I don't think twice about this. You shouldn't think twice about this. Just pay your tithe. 10%. This is how tithes activate the laws of sowing and reaping. You must plant a lot of seeds. Do you understand it? Yeah. Third point, you must plant large amounts, not small amounts, alright? Yeah. Large amounts. He says that because large amounts of seeds must be sown. That is why sperms, a man with less than 40 million sperm counts is very likely to have difficulty in childbirth. Meanwhile, only one sperm will fertilize the egg. Only one. So there can be, you do a test, there are 44, 50 million sperms. Hey, these are 50 million children. Hello? You don't understand what I'm saying? Or you don't like the message? If you don't like these kind of things, let me just jump over it. Say large amount. And to give birth, you have to not just sow only 50 million. You have to do a lot of the 50 millions for one child to come. Hello? Hey! Look, if you have not, you are not married, you'll be married. You will understand what I'm saying. So you collect what I'm saying and put it in the drawer. One day it will benefit you. Hey! You have to sow sometimes 50 million in the morning, 40 million in the afternoon, 40 million in the night, and then 50 million at dawn. Hey! Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about sowing of seeds. So before you realize, in a day you have sown 200 million seeds. 190 million seeds. Looking for one child though. Meanwhile, these are seeds that can give birth to 200 million or 190 million children. And only one. Hey, is it not a mystery? So if you understand this one, why don't you understand the fact that you must sow large amounts of seed? Yes. That's a principle. Doctors understand this. Doctors who are not spiritual understand this. Farmers who are not spiritual understand this. Why is it that Christians who are spiritual don't understand this when it comes to money? Have you asked yourself why? Why don't you understand? We're going to sow large amounts from today. How many of you are going to sow large amounts from today? Yes. Do you know something? The research was done. Let me just talk about use seeds and the large amount. A lot of research has been done and then they look. Well, Guyanese have come to also realize that a lot of women or couples that are looking for children, they don't have sex a lot. Like once in a month, once every 3 weeks. No, you've asked people so once every month. Hey, really? You are looking for a child. Somebody went to a radiologist. He actually went to Bishop Ogo says that somebody came once to do radiology scan. He's a radiology specialist. So she came to do a scan. She came to do a scan, said, oh, she wants to give birth. And did a scan. So in the conversations, as they were working and all that, then he asked her, oh, but where's your husband? So the husband is traveled somewhere, lives somewhere, and she also lives somewhere. So, oh, wow. So is it like every weekend? Because, oh, once every 3 weeks, she goes there or there, every month, once a month, the man comes. And then he asked, and you are looking for a child. Then he said, he mentioned to the lady that, look, the baby you are looking for, what will make the babies come, it cannot be sent by WhatsApp to you. It cannot be emailed to you. Hey! Then the lady adjusted her life and started going frequently, going to collect seeds frequently. Hello? So she adjusted and started moving. So Charlie, sometimes you have to move Friday nights. When you close from work, you won't sleep in the house. Say, look, I have to travel tonight. Then go, stay there, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, so 3 days. Then you don't leave the Sunday night, you leave on Monday, don't straight to work. So that you have almost 4 days collecting seeds. And so she came back one day, she said that, the baby has come. Said, aha! You have now understood the principle. Hallelujah. May you also understand the principle of sowing large amounts. I said, may you understand this principle. It's a simple principle. I think that this analogy helps. How many of you have realized that this analogy has sealed the message I'm trying to put? I think the message can end now. I think we can end the message now. Clap your hands for the Lord. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. So this is it. The law of sowing and reaping. So tithes. Don't listen to people, though. Who are trying to rob you. They are trying to rob you. Yeah, I don't want anybody to rob me of my rewards, my harvest. My harvest is coming. Lift your hand and say, my harvest is coming. As I pay my tithe, my harvest is coming. My harvest is coming. Your harvest is coming soon. I prophesy it. I prophesy your harvest. I see the day of your harvest. I see the day you'll be harvesting. Say amen. I see it. It's coming to you soon. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for a blessing. In Jesus' name, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe that you have been truly blessed. Send a mail to Bishop Samuel at bishopsamuelbeidou@gmail.com. Introduce this podcast to a friend. Keep listening and live passionately for Jesus.